This is Stuart Moxon of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Hi, I'm Maria Manhattan, and I hope you'll join me in the Hudson Cafe here at WGXC on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month, 11 a.m. till noon. We're playing an eclectic mix of music from the American Songbook, old standards sung by young artists, as well as the jazz greats, plus an occasional sprinkling of the unexpected. Leave your worries at the door and come on into the Hudson Cafe. I've got your table waiting.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
All together now.
See the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on anything you hear on All Together Now.
All together now, let's fall apart.
I'm Tom Rode. Tune in to me and my friend Henry the Hudson Whale on Friday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show, 9 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Acre at 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports.
You've tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's local news show for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. Today we're tuning in to Tim Martin from the Register Star newspaper. He'll talk about the summer high school sports season heading into the fall now, with Vern Cross from the WGXC afternoon show on Wednesday. We'll also take a call on the Thursday WGXC afternoon show. Hear all the local news, weather, and more on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, September the 7th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Senator Cory Booker risks his Senate seat in pursuit of facts in the Kavanaugh hearings. Also on the Friday rundown, we'll take you to the state with the fourth highest incarceration rate in the nation. And starting today, a flotilla draws attention to the plight of Snake River salmon. Topping our news, Senator Cory Booker wasn't done with the fireworks on Thursday. NJ.com reports hours after breaking Senate rules by releasing confidential documents, the New Jersey Democrat openly questioned whether Republican President Donald Trump nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court to protect himself amid criminal investigations. "You've seen this president demanding loyalty," Booker told Kavanaugh,
NJ.com Quotesbooker is saying, you're not willing to comment on the character of the president, or if you have great respect for this president, I'm just wondering what kind of loyalty is being required of you for this job. On Saturday, Bay Staters will be participating in Rise for Climate, Jobs, and Justice. It's an international day of action for green jobs and bold action against climate change.
Rallies are taking place in multiple cities, including Boston, Provincetown, Beverly, and Worcester. According to Dr. Marty Nathan with Climate Action Now, her group will be calling on Governor Charlie Baker and the state legislature to step up their efforts against climate change by committing to a transition to 100% renewable energy.
We have the technology to mitigate climate change and to also create jobs and clean our air so that our society is both healthier and more just.
Last month, Baker signed legislation to double the offshore wind energy target to 3.2 gigawatts by 2035. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
The climate rallies are taking place worldwide as leaders and advocates prepare to attend the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco starting 1 week from today. Arizona's incarceration rate is among the highest in the nation. A new report from the ACLU says it comes at a huge cost to taxpayers. Here's Catherine Davis Young.
More than 41,000 people were imprisoned in Arizona last year, and the ACLU reports the per capita imprisonment rate in the state has risen 20% since 2000. Alessandra Soler with ACLU Arizona says this is in spite of a decrease in crime and is inconsistent with falling imprisonment rates in other states.
The data really shows that we're using the penal system, the system of incarceration here, to solve all of our societal problems, like things like drug addiction and mental illness and poverty. And we can't do that, right? Prison's not going to be able to solve all of our social problems.
Soler says Arizona has harsh sentencing laws compared with other states, meaning judges have fewer options to reduce sentences. The ACLU estimates if Arizona introduced alternatives to incarceration for certain nonviolent offenses, it could cut its prison population in half and save taxpayers about $1 billion.
The report says the state has the highest rate of Latino imprisonment anywhere in the country. The annual Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless Conference will be held in Duluth next week as Minneapolis responds to one of the largest homeless settlements the city has ever seen.
While homeless camps in many cities are quickly demolished by law enforcement officials, Minneapolis city leaders are trying a more humane approach. Right now, a coalition of city, county, and American Indian agencies is providing housing assistance, medical care, and other social services to camp dwellers. Fatima Moore with the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless says the response to the Minneapolis homeless encampment has been encouraging, but notes homelessness is an epidemic that goes well beyond the city and state boundaries.
There have been other homeless encampments that have emerged throughout the entire state. Homelessness and housing instability is a need throughout the entire state of Minnesota, and it's actually a need just nationally as well.
Minneapolis officials want to clear the large encampment by the end of September, and Mayor Jacob Frey has pledged an effort to find housing for everyone before then. I'm Roz Brown.
And finally, Eric Tegetoff reports the fourth annual Free the Snake Flotilla kicks off today. Participants say a free-flowing Snake River would restore Idaho's endangered salmon and steelhead populations.
Folks in kayaks, canoes, and boats are floating down the Snake to draw attention to the plight of these fish species and call on policymakers to remove four lower Snake River dams so fish can swim the river unimpeded. Kevin Lewis, head of Idaho Rivers United, says efforts to save salmon and steelhead for more than two decades have largely been unsuccessful.
The federal government has failed to meet its responsibilities to recover these fish. They are hovering on the edge of extinction, yet the agencies and proponents of the status quo insist that the fish are doing better than ever. They're not.
Strong opposition to removing the dams remains. Opponents say the four dams still provide hydropower to the Northwest and that barging on the river is important for farmers. Last year, more than 400 people joined the Free the Snake Flotilla. This year's event will start Friday evening at Chief Timothy Park near Clarkston, and the float will take place Saturday morning near Lewiston. Lewis disagrees with proponents of the dams, pointing to the West's changing energy landscape. He says California used to be a major buyer of Northwest hydropower, but now has renewable resources of its own.
By the way, the event will feature several speakers from Native tribes, including writer and two-time vice presidential nominee of the Green Party, Winona LaDuke. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Friday should be partly sunny with a high near 71 and a low around 58. Saturday should be mostly sunny again with a high near 65 and a low around 45. And Sunday should be partly sunny with a high near 62, a low around 50. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
I want to ask you about another film.
I don't know if I can take it.
There's a film being shown at TSL.
Yes.
Because it is based on the
owners of TSL,
two women,
the developers,
that developed TSL.
I have not seen it.
It's called A Bread Factory.
Because
it's in a renovated former
bread factory.
Bread factory, right.
Yeah. How do you like that?
Grossman's Bakery, I think it's called.
I think it was. We had a progeny of the Grossman's family on our show once. I don't know if you remember
that. Progeny?
Yeah.
Who?
Gary Grossman, something like that. He lived in L.A. and he'd done something or other. You don't remember that?
No, I think maybe I wasn't here.
Yeah, you were here. Maybe you weren't. Who knows?
Sometimes I'm here and I'm not here. I'm not,
you said
I'm not here
me.
When I'm
you
here.
You said it, girl. Anyway, so what you brought up the Bread Factory. You saw it?
No, I haven't. I wondered if you'd seen it.
No, believe it or not, I've been busy, what with, you know, family things and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I intend to see it, without a doubt.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be shown forever.
Well,
so
I got to hurry up. No. They're showing quite often, I believe.
Yeah?
Wouldn't
in
you?
These
Wait a second. If you had a venue for showing movies and there was a movie based on you, I would show it every day.
Well, I might.
An endless reel. Just like a loop. That's what they call a loop. An endless loop of the movie.
And what would you call the movie?
About me or about you?
You. About you.
Oh, well, that'll keep me thinking for a while.
This right here, this is one of my favorite events that Hudson does every year. It's going to be at the MC Smith Elementary School building. You should already know what it is if you're from Hudson. Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. Yes, this year. Dads, take your child to school day.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get out. The event begins at 7 a.m. in the cafeteria with a light breakfast and refreshments. Last year, over 300 participants.
Yeah.
Let's make it even bigger this year. If you know a child, if you got a child, if you mentor a child, make sure you show up, show your presence, dads. Get out there and make sure you bring your behind to the MC Smith Elementary School building Tuesday, September 18th, 2018.
No moms allowed.
We want to see all the dads pull up, show your support for our kids. The kids are our future. Make sure you're there. I can't stress that enough.
Dads, uncles, cousins,
brothers.
I talked to Todd. Shout out to Todd Smith. He said the boxers are willing to mentor. And
that's beautiful.
I talked to Birdie. I talked to everybody. No moms allowed. No disrespect to the moms. But
shout out to all the men who come every year and make sure they show their love and show their support for these kids, because these kids need to see that these men are stepping up and that they have mentors in the community that want to see them succeed and that are there to support them when they need them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be there, man. So just make sure if you guys are looking for someone, if you have a child that you might not have a male role model, reach out, because, like I said, no moms allowed. Please, no moms. Please, none. We can do this.
Mm-hmm. We got to show up and show out.
Yo, it's a chance.
You got to show up and show out.
I got to tell y'all something, man. Y'all ready for this?
I'm ready.
So, Javen, the little radio guy, 530 Freestyle.
530 Freestyle.
Young man.
Oh, yeah. So, since they changed the schooling, now that second grade is up top.
That's right.
This is the first year that I get to bring Javen.
Nice.
There you go.
So,
that's going to be a major vibe.
That's going to be really nice.
We got shirts.
I was about to ask you too.
Yo, they dope though.
Oh boy.
All I'm gonna tell y'all right now,
that's
man,
a vibe.
When y'all see us coming, y'all gonna see us coming. That's, mark my words. I'm telling you.
I'm a little disappointed in myself because I haven't even checked to see if we have it on in Catskill. And if they don't, I think I should start it.
I got a link for you.
All right.
So you can talk
to
you.
I think if we don't have it, I think we should start it.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna talk to Kyle Lyles. I was over in Catskill at an event.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to Kyle Lyles. Great guy.
Yes, he is.
That's somebody that I want. Yeah. I told him that I want him to meet you too.
Mm-hmm.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. If you have an idea.
So, let's Tim, we are here, man.
Yes.
We got some minutes left.
We are.
Let's talk summer, summer sports, man.
Mm.
This summer, I see some growth out of some players.
Yes.
You know, and I'm talking basketball, but there's more sports than just basketball.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is there?
No.
Oh, good. And the reason why I said that is because I'm so direct. Like, I like this sport, and, you know, it could be like lacrosse. But let's talk summer basketball.
Let's do it.
And then we'll go into some football stuff and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So what did you think about this summer? What was the highlights of the summer?
Well, just watching the Columbia Green Summer Basketball League, you know, you've got about eight teams in there. I come away with the knowledge that it's probably going to be a three-team race again in the Patroon Conference this winter. You're going to have Hudson, you're going to have Catskill, mm-hmm. and, of course, Maple Hill. Now, I didn't see Maple Hill. They play in a summer league up towards Albany,
okay.
But they're always good. You can always pencil in.
Count on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Maple Hill is going to be a good team regardless, and they do have some good kids coming back, 6'6 kid, Nate Mannion, who can move, real, real good player. But Hudson and Catskill, going to be right up at the top again.
Okay.
I come away thinking that Justice Brantley is the front runner for the MVP this year. Now, I know he's one of you guys.
That's my guy.
You coached him.
Yeah.
And he works hard. He's a great kid, great family, and he takes a lot on his shoulders, and he can do that. He's capable of carrying a team.
Now, I want to stop you right there.
Sure.
Because I love Jess.
I know you do.
And he knows it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And his family know it.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you, the race is not... It's not won yet.
Not yet.
There's a kid that I've been watching for a while, and I wish Slay was here. There's a kid that I feel if Jess takes a day off, this kid, as a junior, could win Patroon Player of the Year.
I definitely know who you're talking
about. You tell me who you're talking. I just wanted to mention that.
You're talking about my man Bonds.
I got to say Bonds, and I am very impressed with the work that Bonds has put in.
Yep.
I love Jess, and I know Jess is going to be okay.
No question. He's right up there.
But I want Jess to have that foot on the throat. Mm-hmm. Don't take my – and I don't know. And the reason why I say this, Tim, is I'm going to go back to last year, the first game, Hudson versus Catskill.
Right.
When they went to boxing one on Jess, and they took the throttle off. They did not allow Jess to be Jess.
Right.
If they ever do that again in any game
–
because I have a good feeling that Briscoe is going to allow Bonds to be Bonds.
I hope so.
And the only thing that's going to stop Bonds from being Bonds is his failure to work on his weaknesses between now and November.
Right.
You know?
He's grown not only as a player, but physically. He's gotten taller.
Man.
And you could see the confidence in him.
I mean,
he's a player that once he gets hot, look out. Just stand back and enjoy the show because he's going to pour in 20 to 30 points a game. He's capable of that.
Yeah.
And if he does, if he keeps that confidence, and like you say, if he can be himself and play to his strengths, there's no stopping a young man.
No.
Another guy that we cannot forget about, another junior, Daquan Griffin.
Daquan Griffin.
Daquan is a beast inside, and I'm thinking he's going to score 20 points a game himself. So, needless to say, I think Hudson's the team to beat. Okay, I'm not taking away from Catskill or Maple Hill or anybody else, but Hudson on paper is the team once again. Last year, Catskill was right up there with them, and Catskill did win the league. Hudson's 2-year streak of winning the leagues, and they lost their first game in like 3 years to Catskill.
Yep.
And this year, I think it's going to be different. I think Hudson's going to turn tables on them, and they're going to win the league this year.
Hudson has a little bit more versatility
this
year.
They do.
Another guy that I want to talk about briefly is Paul.
Yep.
and another one of our kids. That's and I tell you, and the thing about Paul is, you don't normally find guys that like to play defense,
right?
Especially in high school.
Yep.
Paul's a ball hawk. He's going to get down. He's going to get dirty. And I think that Briscoe and Tyrone, they got a good group.
Right.
They got a good group.
Whether Paulie Jurito starts or doesn't start, he's going to give you a spark.
Yeah.
I mean, he like you said, he gets down and dirty defensively. He can handle a rock. He can shoot the rock. I remember seeing him a couple of years ago when he first came up on JV. I'm thinking, this kid's a pretty good kid coming off the bench. By the end of the season, I'm thinking, man, this guy might be your MVP. He was so good and just – did a little of everything, and he does it well.
You know, and he's a crowd pleaser, too.
He is a crowd pleaser.
Because he has some pizzazz.
Yes, he does.
So you never know when he might throw one
of
these.
He's got the handles,
Yeah.
He's looking good. I mean, you know, really, Hudson, when you think about what they have, I mean, there's always that question, is Willie Jones going to play in Hudson? Is he not going to play in Hudson?
Yep.
But even taking Willie out of the equation, you know, with Daquan coming back, you got Bonds, you got Jalen Hartfield coming back.
I'm about to say, Jalen coming back, and that's going to be a huge.
Absolutely.
No, why? Because Jalen brings a lot of heart.
He certainly does.
He brings a lot of energy.
He does, absolutely.
And he's a very good basketball player.
Yes, he is. Very good player.
You also got Noah.
Yep, you got Noah. You got Leviticus Chunks. I mean, come on now. I mean, we just named off four kids that could be like all league players right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – so they've got a bench. It's not especially deep right now, but if they can develop some other kids, I mean, there's no telling how good this team can be. I can see them running through the league undefeated. Again, I don't want to give them the crown yet because Catskill and
Maple
Hill.
They definitely got to earn it,
and they're going to have something to say about it because when you have a kid like Justice Brantley on your team, you're going to be good. You know, they played in the championship game at Summer League.
I watched it.
And I'll tell you what, Justice and Catskill was taking it to Hudson. It was 21-7, midway through the first half.
I watched it.
Then bottom fell out and Hudson just took it.
You
want to
know why? And you know what I think? And I'm gonna talk to Justice. I haven't seen him since then. But you know, I'm a Hudson guy.
I know that.
So I'm gonna talk to Justice, but I'm also gonna talk to Bonds.
Yes, sir.
And the one thing that I saw is because Bonds was guarding Justice late.
Yep.
And what Justice started doing was saying, I'm gonna go to the basket.
Yep.
He's bigger than Bonds.
Yeah.
But the problem was you're a jump shooter.
Yep.
You gotta conserve your energy.
He can shoot with the best.
And you can't shoot when you're tired.
Right.
Now what Bonds was doing was Bonds was playing decent defense. But he's so long and lanky now that he can block shots and you don't even see it coming. But on offense, you're not stopping him.
Mm-hmm.
One, because he's left handed.
Right.
And two, because he is lanky, but he has heart where Bond sent me a dunk that he got.
Yeah, he did.
A few of them.
He got a couple dunks.
I'm predicting he get 6 dunks this year.
He might do that.
I'm predicting that.
I would not be surprised at all because he likes it too. He likes going up for that dunk, man. I mean, he can throw it down with either hand, really. So I'm telling you, he's gonna have a really, really good year.
Yeah, he's
Hudson's
a good kid,
gonna have
man.
A really good year. You know, again, you don't want to take too much from a summer league because it's summer league. And when you come to the championship, you're playing 2 games in one night.
But think about it, and I know you know your history. Think about it. The team that won the summer league ended up winning the Patroon.
That's right.
It goes that way every last couple of years.
Couple
I mean,
years ago
last
was Hudson.
Year,
last year it was Catskill.
Catskill won the summer league,
and you could just see it coming.
Yeah.
Catskill again. You can't look past him because number one, you got Justice. You've also got Devon Hay coming back. You got a young man by the name of Logan Scott, who I believe was a Hudson kid.
Yeah, he was a Hudson kid.
Ago,
yep,
went up to Ravina, then back down. So you got up front. You got about. You got 2 guys who are like 6'5", 6'6", that can play. You know, I mean, you got Kellen Gibbs. I mean, you've got Vonis Donnelly. I mean,
they
have
a decent team.
Yep.
But it's all about what their coaches are allowing them to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like Henry Hayes' son.
Yep.
He's very good, but I always tell Henry he's
you
not
played
disciplined.
With Henry.
Yes, I did. And I played
Henry.
Against him.
Yep.
But I always tell Henry, I said he's not disciplined because if you ball fake, he will try to go get it. And I think that Henry's going to take some time to get him disciplined. But even
he's
the
got
game,
a great teacher right there.
Yeah, even the games against Hudson last year, you know, he got into foul trouble real early.
Yeah. And that takes him right out of the game. You got that big man out of there. And then you have somebody like Daquan Griffin inside for Hudson.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
And Daquan's going to do some things.
Oh, my goodness.
As a junior, too.
Big things. I'm seeing double-digit points and rebounds. He's that good.
Yeah, he is that good.
Mm-hmm.
Football. Oh, yeah. You can go back to Daquan because he's playing football.
Yes,
so.
He is. I'm glad to see that. I was there the first day that he came out for practice. I was so happy to see him there because I'm thinking
just worry,
man
right?
can play. Yeah. Because I figured, okay, he's going to concentrate on basketball and mm-hmm. lots of football could certainly use him because 2 years ago he played on the JV team. He had like 30 catches. He was like the best player on the team. He's very, very good athlete.
And it was a little discouraging for him last year because, you know.
Yeah, well, they brought him up. He was a sophomore. So, you know, and of course, when you get brought up to varsity, you don't sit the bench. You want to play. Like, why'd you bring me up? From my, you know, when I'm playing with my friends on the JV team, you bring me up to varsity and you go sit me on the bench. Why? I mean, so
I don't believe in that. You know, I believe if you bring them up,
exactly.
No, why? Because mentality
is
everything.
Especially the underclassmen, the freshmen, sophomores, you can't let them on.
Mentality is everything.
Yeah,
your mental mind and the way you become a great player or a great anything.
Definitely.
Don't bring me up to sit me down.
No.
When I can go down there and kill.
No, because these kids have got in their head, man, I can play. You know, and you think so too because you brought me up to varsity as a freshman or sophomore. So why am I on the bench? Yeah. You know, get me out there. You know, and they've got the ability to do that. Kids like Daquan. I mean, get him out there and play. I mean, let him show what he can do. You know, and improve as he goes along against, you know, the highest level of competition. But Hudson took it on the chin last week.
Yeah,
they took it on the chin. They played a Class A school, which was a Class AA last year in Columbia. They came down this year in enrollment. And Columbia is not known as a football factory, but they're still a big school with a lot of kids to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And Hudson went in with 18 healthy kids. You know,
and
a couple of kids are missing, you know, because they're not eligible until the third week of the season.
So, and I'm upset about that. And
yeah,
I know
absolutely,
you're talking about,
absolutely,
about that.
Absolutely.
And I will have conversations with those kids when I see them.
Definitely. And they are two of the better teams.
Yeah.
Players on team.
One of the kids had transferred out of here.
Yes.
He's been in a program where we know we have a good feeling that he's going to do well in this program because he's been in a bigger program.
Definitely.
You know, so I'm a little upset with him. I haven't seen him at the barbershop, but as soon as I catch up to him, he's fast, too. Well, when I catch up to him, I will have some words for him.
You may have to catch him because he's going to be running. But they're missing those two young men. A couple of kids have been, you know, banged up with injuries, fingers, this and that and the other thing. So they only had like 18 healthy kids to go against a Class A team on the road, and defense played very well. Only gave up 12 points. To a Class A school. Offense, that's where they were hurt. Because you lose, you know, the last couple of years, you lose Marcus Reed and Michael Lurk a couple of years ago. Last year, you had Willie Walker.
Willie Walker,
Zach Wilburn.
Zach Wilburn,
right? And so, you know, these are versatile kids. They can play quarterback. They can play running back. You can split them out wide. They could do a little of everything. But they graduated. So now you got a new kind of backfield back there. You don't have that one guy that you can say, give it to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he'll make
this guy's 100 yards, you know, every single game. But so it's a different kind of team this year. But I still think this team is going to win at least 4 or 5 games.
Okay.
You know, and maybe not. And again, maybe more. Not saying that they're not capable of winning more, but even though they lost the first one, this is a very important game this
against
week.
Ichabod.
You got Ichabod Crane.
Yeah,
of course, it's a county rival. You want to always, you know, show out against a county rival like that. But it's very important because there's playoff positioning. Even though it's the second game of the season, you only play, you know, 5 conference games, league games, and every one is important. And if you lose this one, you're 0-2, so you're already in a hole. So one of these teams is going to be in a real hole when it comes to playoff positioning, if you even make it. And if you do, you'll probably be the 4th seed, which means you got to play Glens Falls, which, forget about it. Glens Falls is good. Oh, remember, a couple of years ago, they beat Hudson like 62-6, and Hudson had a very good team. This team might not be as talented as that team. So if you got to play this Glens Falls team, which is as talented as they were back in those days, you know, Joe Girard III threw for like 280 yards and was involved in 6 touchdowns against a very good Skylarville team this past week.
I'm losing faith with Joe, man.
Are you really? Hoops wise or overall?
I think overall as a person. Like, I think for me, mentality means a lot. And shout out to my man Fell, man. Shout out to James Skyler. That's his guy, man.
But I'm
losing faith. I watched Joe play down in Dykeman,
right,
and stuff like that. And I'm just,
you weren't
like,
impressed.
I just really felt like the kid from Saugerties.
Yeah. Dior Johnson. Yep.
You see what Dior did? He packed it up and said, "Listen, it's time for me to go where I can be challenged at." And I'm losing faith because when I watched Joe play down in Dykeman, I watched him play twice. I'm telling you, he might have shot 6 air balls.
Yeah.
You know, and that just tells me that, you know, Joe, you're a phenomenal athlete. Yep. We know that.
Yes.
But you're playing in a Class B, and I'm just losing faith in him. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of people second guessing him, and for that very reason,
it's my own opinion. I don't dislike him. I'm not hating.
No.
I just want him. You know what I'm saying? It's just
you want to see him do better.
You know,
but this is the thing I'm saying. If you're averaging 50 points,
and he did,
in high school.
Yeah, he sure,
and you averaged sure 12 in AAU and 13 when you played with the big boys.
Yep.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to average 50 in college, but regardless.
No, he's not. But when you play with the big boys, mm-hmm. you still got to get 20, 25.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. You a scorer.
Definitely. But in AAU, there's so much talent. You know what I mean? I mean, there's
guys. And I think that's exactly what he's saying is that you're scoring 50 and the competition is different.
But also on your team. So you're not – see.
Here come old flat top, he come – grooving up slowly, he got juju eyeball. He one holy roller. He got hair down to his knee. Got to be a joker. He just do what he please. Shoot me. Shoot me. Shoot me. Shoot me. He wear no shoe shine. He got toe jam football. He got monkey finger. He shoot Coca-Cola. He say, I know you.
You want to do one? You want to make a recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
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 Yeah.
Okay. skin.
Perfect.
Very nice, guys.
Fridays on WGXC are made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jim McCabe of Clawbrook, New York. Sustaining supporters like Jim are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wavefarm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
Next, we have these reports.
I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tafton is reporting for Columbia Greene Media. The State Department of Transportation announced September the 5th, Route 23A will be closed beginning September 17th for emergency repairs because of a slope failure in Hunter. The more than 3-mile section of the road between Wingate Road and the bridge over Catterskill Creek near Palinville will be closed for 1 week, according to a statement released by the department. Motorists will be detoured on routes 32, 23, and 296. Drivers will have access to Catskill Falls and Hunter Mountain. During the closure, crews will install concrete stabilizing pods to anchor the slope to help prevent further erosion. DOT spokesman Brian Vigiani said the slope failure was discovered August 8th. He said, and I quote, "We installed traffic lights the next day and stabilized the slope until we were able to begin the work that starts on September 17th, end quote. The road is currently safe for travel, with one lane of alternating traffic in place with temporary traffic lights. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "Traffic is moving, albeit slowly moving," end quote. Town Supervisor David Legg said town officials hope the repairs will be completed as soon as possible, but the closure should have a low impact on the community. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. The names of gubernatorial candidates Larry Sharp and Stephanie Miller will appear on the November ballot. General objections were filed to their petitions last week, but specific objections were not filed with the State Board of Elections. Sharp's name will appear on the Libertarian line, and Miner is the Serve America Movement candidate. Specific objections were filed against the independent petitions filed by Jimmy McMillan, the Rent is Too Damn High candidate for governor. Miner's petitions were initially challenged by supporters of Governor Andrew M. Cuomo. Miner said in a statement, and I quote, "Despite the efforts of party bosses who want to disenfranchise voters, New Yorkers will have a real choice in November," end quote. Read the full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The State Department of Environmental Conservation, September 5th, issued the Hudson River Comprehensive Restoration Plan. The stated intention of the plan is to encourage municipalities, state organizations, and environmental groups to work together toward a common goal. Department officials said the 84-page document will serve as a resource for information about all river-related projects. The plan states, and I quote, "The Hudson River Comprehensive Plan is the first attempt to benchmark restoration progress to date in the Hudson and set long-term goals for its future," end quote. The report includes the work of 25 nonprofit groups, 13 state agencies, 7 academic programs, 42 municipalities, and 8 private companies. Scenic Hudson Science, Climate, and Stewardship Director Neva Tabak said the report is unique in how widely it explores issues such as habitat damage, threats to population centers, problems stemming from human activities, and matters that arise from broader environmental concerns. Tabak said the report complements other initiatives undertaken by the state, but will be updated as new impacts on the Hudson River take shape. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting Ulster County has joined with school districts to install 22 solar-powered speed signs as part of the county's school safety initiative. Each sign displays designated speed limit as well as the speed of the oncoming vehicle. Other Build a Safer Ulster County initiative projects include widening of roads and improved safety for bicyclists, pedestrians, and motorists. County Executive Mark Hines said, and I quote, "Installing solar speed signs near the schools will provide drivers of all ages with essential feedback so they can moderate their speed and enhance safety," end quote. Locations of the solar speed signs include Highland, Kingston, Marlborough, and Socrates. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
You were right, as always.
As always.
I know you love when I say that. Tom Rowe, if you're listening, please clip that, because I know Ellen would love to hear that played repeatedly on this station.
No, you didn't have to do it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I pat myself on the back.
There you go. And she did it literally, folks, for you who missed that, because we're not on TV.
Tune in Tom DiPietro and Ellen Thurston every Thursday on the WGXC Afternoon Show, 4 to 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Caller, are you there?
Hello, Tom and Ellen.
There we go.
Hi.
Hi, whoever you are.
How you doing? This is Chuck, that called up about the statue in the park.
Oh, yeah. How can we forget?
I didn't get there yet because I haven't called the Department of Public Works. That's where he works, right?
That's correct.
Where the statue is?
That's right.
Are you sure it's there?
Well, no, because I have not seen it myself. But that is what I've been told by people who seem to know. Rob Perry is the man to talk to. He's in charge of the parks.
Yeah, because I was wondering if these people from New York City shifted it to down there where they live.
Oh, no, I don't
think
so.
Why would they do that?
Excuse me?
Why would that have happened? Who would have done that?
Who would what?
Who would have shipped it to New York City?
No, I mean, that's how they are.
Oh, you mean people from New York City might...
Have stolen it?
Not stolen it, but...
Bought it and moved it.
Bought it for $500 and sell it for $5,000.
Oh, yeah, that was, I doubt it. You want to know why? As I recall, this statue is not unique. It's made from a mold, and there are many, many versions of it all over the place.
Uh-huh. Well, so, that's no problem, but that statue should be back in that park.
Well, we've agreed with you from the start, Chuck. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
It's just a question of finding it and then redoing the park.
And rehabilitating the statue.
Yeah.
Changing the electrical system, all of that.
Yeah.
And that all costs money, so...
Let me ask you something, Chuck. What is your... What makes you so anxious to get this statue back?
Because that's what Hudson was.
There you go. So you want Hudson to turn back the clock.
Yeah, you don't need a water fountain.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You can go to any railroad station and get some water out of it.
Wait a second. There wasn't... When the statue was there, was no water?
No, I'm saying that, you know, you don't need a water fountain in the park. That statue belongs back where it was. When you look in all these old books,
Yeah. That's
what was there.
Yeah.
And then when they moved that statue, when they took it out of there, they moved it across the street by the, what do you call it? 7th Street on a corner.
Yeah.
By the from the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it disappeared, huh?
Yeah. But why don't they have that? That should have been staying there for years.
Yep.
Just like that statue down there in Promenade Hill.
Yeah. St. Winifred, you mean?
Yeah.
You like her?
Oh, yeah, I like that because, you know, it's a beautiful statue. I used to jump all over that thing when I was a kid.
Jump all over it? Why would you do that? Might have broken something.
No, I was playing. I think that's cast iron.
Oh, okay. You might have broken something on you.
Well, my mother and father used to hang down around the corner from there, and we used to be up in the playground.
Ah, nice. What else do you miss from old Hudson?
Them two lines are...
Oh, right.
Where those two lines are.
I could swear that I've heard that they still exist and they want to put them in front of the new library. Didn't you hear that, Ellen, at some point?
I think so. I think they simply haven't gotten around to doing that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm going to make a note and track that down.
Yeah,
Ellen takes stenography.
Statue down.
Yeah. Well, Rob Perry's...
What makes you think that was a mold?
Oh, just that something somebody wrote about it at one point. They said that, you know, they went online and found other versions of it all over the place. The same statue.
Do you know what the statue was of? Was it a saint or?
Oh, no, it was like a naked lady, but a robe on.
That's why you want that statue back.
Why?
So you go look at the naked lady all the time.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. So you're not a perv.
No.
Just kidding. Just kidding you, Chuck.
That's art.
That's art. You betcha.
Right.
I'm an artist.
Here's the thing, Chuck. You know, a lot of statues are made by mold. It's not unusual. It doesn't mean there were hundreds of them. There could have been 5 or 10 or 20. So that's not.
I wonder how I can track that down to find out where that statue is if it's not in that building.
Well, like I said, you start with Rob Perry and don't let up. Rob Perry, just bang on his door. No, sorry. Just ask him and he'll tell you, I think.
Maybe he knows where it is. I mean, where it's gone.
Do you ever look at that blog called Gossips of Rivertown?
No.
Ah, because it's been written about there extensively. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can find it on the internet.
You go on the internet, Chuck?
No.
You don't?
Why is it so interesting that they got to have that water fountain there? That ignorant.
Well, you're just one person who has an idea of what to do with it.
Well,
I'm not just one.
Well, everybody's going to have a different opinion of what should happen there.
Oh, but I agree with Chuck.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. David Lombardo is reporting for the Albany Times-Union that Governor Andrew M. Cuomo spent more than $8.5 million in 18 days during August ahead of next Thursday's Democratic primary with actor Cynthia Nixon. Cuomo has over $16 million left, according to his 11-day pre-primary filing with the State Board of Elections. Nixon, by contrast, brought in $475,168 and spent $450,275 during the same period. She has $466,749 for the end of the primary election. In 2014, against Zephyr Teachout, Cuomo spent less, $5.6 million in a similar time frame. More than $2.5 million of his current spending went to the New York Democratic Party, which endorsed candidates including Cuomo, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, and State Attorney General candidate Letitia James. Cuomo also spent $2.9 million on television advertisements. Some of those ads completely ignored the primary election and instead attacked Republican gubernatorial nominee Mark Molinaro. Read the full story in the Times Union. Endorsements from New York's newspapers are being announced all week ahead of the Thursday, September 13th primary election with major races for governor and attorney general. Governor Andrew Cuomo secured the trifecta of major endorsements from the New York Times, the Albany Times-Union, and the Buffalo News. For attorney general, Zephyr Teachout has the endorsement of the New York Times, the New York Daily News, and the Buffalo News. The Albany Times-Union backed Lacia Eve as the state's lead litigator. Former university law professor Teachout, New York City public advocate Letitia James, Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, and lawyer Eve are all running for attorney general. Besides the statewide races, there is also a major local election on primary day for Democrats with new Lebanon town clerk Tistra Houtling against Don Boyajian. They are competing to take on Republican Jake Ashby in November in the 107th district that covers Columbia and Rensselaer counties. William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that the Saugerties Council of Churches holds a 1.2-mile crop hunger walk on August 14th to secure, and I quote, that more people worldwide have access to nutritious, sustainable food sources, end quote. The village board approved the march September 5th, with it starting at 2 p.m. at the Saugerties Reformed Church on Main Street. Council Representative Margaret Todd told the board, and I quote, last year we had about 50 people that participated. We're expecting this year to have a few more because people are going to come down from Woodstock, end quote. 16 organizations in the Saugerties Council of Churches and 4 Woodstock churches are expected to participate. She said, and I quote, the money will go to the national organization and 25% of it will go to the food pantry here in Saugerties and 25% will go to the food pantry in Woodstock. We'll be giving out the donation folders next week, and they will have a month to collect the money, end quote. The crop walk route is to include parts of Washington Avenue, Lafayette Street, Market Street, Main Street, Partition Street, and Russell Street, and it will end at its starting point. Crop hunger walks first were held in 1947. The website of the communities responding to overcome poverty says the walks, and I quote, have ensured that more people worldwide have access to nutritious, sustainable food sources. From combating droughts in Nicaragua to providing agricultural training in Indonesia to stocking shelves in hundreds of food pantries across the United States, Crop Hunger Walks help end hunger by raising funds to support local food programs and international anti-hunger work, end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Audrey Maytot reports in the Greenville Pioneer that the Durham Town Board unanimously adopted a law August 7th limiting the permitted load allowed on select town roads. More truck traffic on town roads over the past few years has meant more costs for taxpayers. So the new law limits the maximum load allowed by trucks, commercial vehicles, tractors, and similar vehicles to 20,000 pounds on these town roads. Cunningham Road, Sutton Road, Cornwallville Road, Strong Road, Cochran Road, Brown Road, Hillcrest Road, Shady Glen Road, Elliott Place, Stonebridge Road, and Golden Hill Road. Local delivery emergency vehicles and pickup trucks are exempt, and larger vehicles can use those roads for infrastructure maintenance service and repair. Read the full story in the Greenville Pioneer. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. The local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
Here are some more headlines from WOOCLP, WGXC's partner station in Troy.
The state held the first of 15 listening sessions across the state on idea of legalizing marijuana here in Albany on September 6th. State health officials are hosting listening sessions around the state through the month of September and October to gather input, concerns, and considerations from local community members about the potential development of state-regulated marijuana program. Over 100 community members attended, and only a handful of the nearly 50 comments made during the two-hour session signaled opposition to legalization. This is about racial, economic, and social justice, said Lauren Manning, assistant director of the Center for Law and Justice in Albany. There are people doing life sentences for 15 pounds of weed. Meanwhile, a bunch of white men are poised to get very rich off the same thing our people have gone to jail for decades. Ain't that the truth? The next listening session will be held at 6 p.m. Thursday at SUNY Adirondack in Queensbury, New York.
The New York Attorney General's office has subpoenaed all Roman Catholic dioceses in the state as part of an investigation into sexual abuse of children, a source familiar with the investigation said Thursday. This announcement follows on the heels of the sweeping report issued by the Pennsylvania grand jury last month that found abuse by over 300 clergy members over seven decades, protected by a hierarchy of church leaders who covered it up. The Pennsylvania investigation, one of the broadest inquiries into church sex abuse in U.S. history, identified 1,000 children who were victims, but reported that there are probably thousands more. According to a report released Wednesday by Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, more than one-third of New Yorkers are now on Medicaid or other publicly funded health care plans, a spike of 57% over the past decade. The report highlighted New Yorkers' growing dependence on health insurance programs run by the state and federal government amidst uncertainty over the program's future in Washington. The federal administration and Republican-led Congress has sought to strip away provisions of so-called Obamacare, including ending the individual mandate that all Americans have health care or face tax penalties. These changes have led to an increase in the amount of money the state has to pay to ensure coverage for New Yorkers. Leaders like Comptroller DiNapoli and Governor Andrew Cuomo have vowed to fight federal cuts to Medicaid and other programs tied to the Federal Affordable Care Act, which was a signature program of President Barack Obama passed in 2010.
Several heat waves this summer have prompted the state major teachers union to call for rules that would schools would close just as they do for snow days, for heat days when it is too hot to stay in class, at least if rooms aren't air-conditioned. Wednesday's temperatures prompted the union to renew its calls for legislation proposed last year that would allow schools to declare an extreme heat day when the classroom temperature hits 82 degrees. The union is urging lawmakers to take up legislation when the legislature returns in early 2019. It was proposed but didn't pass. During the last legislative session, the State Center for School Health, a Rochester-based clearinghouse, has extensive web-based information about the possibilities of heat exhaustion or heat stroke. The high of 92 degrees in Albany as of late afternoon was a record for September 5th. Isn't that the truth? Said Joe Sibuka, a forecaster for the National Weather Service. The next highest temperature was in 1973 when it hit 91. Wednesday, 50% humidity made it feel like it was 97 degrees. He said, and temperatures are expected to rise again next week.
One after another. Donald Trump, he's lost it up here. You know, it's pretty tough. I stand up here giving speeches for an hour and a half, many times without notes. And then they say, he's lost it. And yet we have 25,000 people showing up to speeches. I don't even bring it up because I view it as something that, you know, but they like to use the impeach word, impeach Trump. Maxine Waters, we will impeach him. But he didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't matter. We will impeach him. Then what you're going to have is you'll have a country that's going to turn in to a third world country. Because if the opposite party becomes president, every time before it even starts, before you've even found out whether or not he or she is going to do a great job, they'll say, we want to impeach him, and you'll impeach him. It's so ridiculous.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Friday should be partly sunny with a high near 71 and a low around 58. Saturday should be mostly sunny again with a high near 65 and a low around 45. And Sunday should be partly sunny with a high near 62, a low around 50. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Friday, September 7th, Tom Rowe starts the day in Acre with the WGXC Morning Show from 9 to 11 a.m., followed by City Folk with Frederick Arnold, live in Hudson from 11 until noon. At 2 o'clock on Hudson Valley Sound, local musician Marlon Palmer is among those featured this week. And later on in the evening at 7 o'clock, a special remote broadcast from Hilo in Catskill, DJ Neva, host of Music for the Masses, and Matt Wagner from the Stoop Rock Radio Takeover, join forces to present Collective Joy, That Thing Called Love, a live radio dance party at Hilo in Catskill. That's from 7 to 11:30 p.m., live on WGXC.
Tune in to Transmission Arts on the air Saturday, September 8th on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC, the future of what looks at the music industry at 6 a.m. Then there's the local news at 7, followed by Amateur Radio Newsline and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. Then at 8 a.m., the Radio Survivor magazine show focuses on all kinds of radio issues. Donald Trump Theater follows after the local news at 9 a.m. 10:30 a.m., we go live.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is
is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.